ready to unlock secrets of using AI to improve your leadership, communication, and problem solving? Yes, that's what you're going to learn today. Welcome to Speak Up, the podcast for high-performing introverts and ambiverts, where we reveal the charisma and communication secrets of A-listers so that you get the recognition and opportunities you have earned. I'm your host, Laura Camacho, your magical communication godmother, coach, and strategist. Take note that we now release episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And today is so interesting. You're getting like a taste of the future and how you can compete in the future today. As a business leader, you're often or maybe wondering how AI is going to shape the future of all this. Maybe you're using ChatGPT. Our guest today is an AI researcher and really expert who's been in AI for a long time, but he's also into helping companies improve performance. His name is Kian Gohar. He's based in Los Angeles. And he recently had some research published at Harvard Business Review, and we're getting the scoop on that without having to read the article or go hire him, because I'm sure they charge really good money to help you. So the takeaways for today are discovering the surprising truth about AI's impact on problem solving and creativity in business teams. The results from the research were not what he expected. You're going to learn practical strategies for integrating AI into your leadership communication toolkit today to drive innovation, performance, and productivity. You're going to get access to a conversational AI drill coach. Like, it could almost replace me, but not quite. Designed to skyrocket your team's AI fluency and communication skills. And you're going to get the inside scoop on how your AI skills will affect future job interviews. And without further ado, I introduce our guest, the CEO of Geo Labs, an AI researcher and futurist, Kian Gohar. Well, welcome, Kian, to the show. It's so good to have you here. I cannot wait to hear what you're going to tell us about your latest AI research and how we can use it to become better leaders and that we do not have to fear for our jobs. I know all the AI experts are telling me that. You already have research published on this topic. How did you know to get started so early? Like, tell me how you knew to get going on that. Oh, by the way, I guess it's because you're a futurist, right? You were reading the future before everybody else.
Yeah, well, futurists, we don't have crystal balls.
And
if a futurist ever tells you the future, don't believe them. But what we're good at is exploring possible futures and then working backwards from that and seeing what might be in our near-term future. And so I've been studying AI for, gosh, over a decade now. I used to be an executive director at Singularity University in Silicon Valley, teaching for many years on these technologies of how AI and machine learning and robotics are going to shift our perception of how we work and how we live. And so I've been aware of it for a long time. Our work involves training teams to solve complex problems through collaboration and innovation. And so we basically coach leadership teams on how to become high performing and solve problems. And when ChatGPT became publicly available just almost a year and a half ago, we saw AI as another toolkit in the innovation toolbox for executives and for teams. So we had this hunch. We're like, okay, we think if we're going to guess that AI will help us be more creative. And so this was our hypothesis, but we didn't know how effective it could be. So my research partner, Jeremy Udley, and he teaches at Stanford, we came up with this study over a year ago, and we worked with real teams across the world at real companies who are having real business problems. And we designed the study and we said, we're going to ask you to solve this business problem. Half of you are going to have access to AI and the other half are not going to have access to AI. And as researchers, we were curious to find out, what is the effect of AI in helping us solve problems? Is it better? Is it not as good? We don't know. And we wanted to measure two things. One was, the quantity of ideas that the teams with AI developed, and also the quality of ideas. Because you can have lots of ideas, but if they're not any good, then what does it matter, right?
Right.
As the results came in, we were shocked. We kept thinking to ourselves, oh no, we've totally designed this the wrong way. And we sat back and we analyzed the data, and we realized actually the teams that had access to AI only had modest gains compared to the human teams who didn't have access to AI. And this was totally contrary to what everybody expected. And so our fear of having done this incorrectly suddenly turned to, oh, wow, maybe this is an insight here that we hadn't even considered. And so the research was published in Harvard Business Review magazine in their March-April edition. We were very proud of it. And we basically realized two things that I think your listeners should clue in on. Number one is that the reason that humans, when they use AI, oftentimes don't get significantly better ideas is because we have a human bias to settle for a good enough answer. And this has been demonstrated in research for decades. Typically, AI can help us get to a good enough answer in 5 minutes. And then instead of maximizing our time for the next hour to get to a better answer, we're like, well, why don't we just go grab coffee because we got a good enough answer.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. And so like for most problems that are not mission critical or you don't have to have the most creative solution, AI can help us get to a good enough answer. But when we're trying to get to the perfect answer or the most creative answer, actually, we need to check our human biases. And the way that we're biased right now is for the last 20 plus years, we go on to Google or Bing or any search engine, and there's this little box, and you start typing into the box with your question, like, what is the best Italian restaurant near me? And so our brains have been preconditioned to think of typing a question and getting the perfect answer. Sort of like the internet knows everything, right?
Right, exactly. Exactly. We Google it and there we go.
We get the answer. And that's how most people use AI. In fact, what we found was that there were a few teams who used AI and got significantly more creative answers than teams who had access to AI but didn't get good enough answers. What was the difference? The difference was that they treated AI not as an oracle, but they treated it really as a conversation partner. So the way that they interacted with AI wasn't just asking one question and then settling for whatever answer it gave it, but rather having a back and forth iterative conversation that really helped them get to better answers through this dialogue, like you would with a friend or a colleague. And this was the major epiphany that we've had, is that conversation is key to effective human collaboration with AI. And I think this is the main insight your listeners can take away from our conversation today.
Absolutely. Okay, everybody. So now it's not just ask it a question and then take it. When I've used it, I'll ask it a question and then I'll say, well, that's too long. Make it shorter. Make it more personable. Make that more interesting. But what about this? So I didn't think about that as having a conversation, but that's what you mean, right? Can you give me an example of how this would work?
I'll give you a personal example. And okay. I was having a personal challenge over the weekend about an issue in my life, and I didn't know how to approach it. So I turned on my ChatGPT app. And by the way, if you don't have the app on your phone, download the app. It's critical because it's going to really be integrated into everything you do. So download the app. I turn on the voice mode and I just start talking to it. And I start really kind of spewing brain, stream of consciousness about what this problem that I was having in my personal life. And it wasn't like perfectly formulated. I didn't have to have the perfect prompt. And so I just said, here's the context for this situation that I have. Now, instead of giving me the answer based on what you think you should tell me, I want you, AI, ChatGPT, to ask me 3 or 4 questions about this context so that you can get more information to have better input before you formulate an answer. And so instead of giving it the perfect prompt, I said, you interview me and ask me the questions that you think you want to know about how to solve this problem. So then we had this back and forth conversation. And then sometimes it would give me an answer. And I said, no, I don't like this. Can you critique this? Can you rephrase this or go in a different direction? And so you can talk back to AI and tell it that you don't like it. And so literally learning to have a conversation like you would with a human counterpart, but now you have to do it with an AI tool on your phone or on your laptop.
And in your study, can you tell us what kinds of problems were these teams solving? Were they all engineering or what?
No, not at all, actually. They were all business problems. So one team wanted to learn how they can develop better training materials for their sales team. So that's one question. Another team wanted to explore, we have this breakthrough idea for a product. Should we bring it to market? And if so, what would be our go-to-market plan? They were all business problems. None of them were technical or engineering problems.
So are there any questions that are not good to ask it?
No, every question is a good question. Don't go asking for the perfect answer. Here's what I would recommend. From our research, there's, I think, five steps an individual should follow. And we call it FIXIT. And it's an acronym, F-I-X-I-T. And I'll kind of walk you through that. And I think this applies to any kind of problem. The first letter F is that make sure it's a focused problem. So don't try to like boil the entire ocean. Don't ask, how can I improve my sales 10% this year? That's just way too big. So narrow it down and say, I have this product, I'm in this market, we have this particular situation, and how can I improve my sales 10% in this specific customer segment? So as you can see, I really focused the question because now we are honing in on a particular area as opposed to being really broad. Most people who use AI, they feel like they just don't get a really good answer. It's because you're too broad. The second one is individual thinking. And so it's really critical that this has been demonstrated through decades of research, not just mine, that you have to think on your own first before you think with a team or with a colleague or with a partner. That's how you get better ideas. So spend just a few minutes on your own thinking about an answer that you have asked to solve for. So individual ideation. The third letter, X, stands for context. Provide the AI platform context or information about the problem. Maybe this could be a document that you want to share or an article or maybe a data set. Or like you just saw, I just started speaking to it about a personal dilemma that I had. And so you want to share with it some context. And if you don't know what context to really give it, give it a very beginning basic context and then ask it to interview you with three or four questions so that it gets more context. And then the fourth part is interactive conversations. This is the back and forth. So you can have going back and forth conversation with the AI about the specific dilemma that you had. And you're going to ask it a question. It's going to give you an answer. You're going to go a different direction. Again, just like a conversation. And then finally, after you've done all of this, then is the T for the team incubation. Then you take it to your team and say, here's what I learned. Here are the particular solutions that we've developed, me with AI. Now let's explore them and prioritize them as a team. And so I think if you follow this process, fix it, F-I-X-I-T, you can really address any kind of problem that you're facing on a business level.
Wow. By the way, Kian, I forgot to tell you that not only is this audience you're talking to super smart, we have the best looking nerds listening. So this is awesome. So I'm just going to recap to help us learn. So it's fix it, which I love. I love the acronym. So focus on the problem. Like we would say that most likely mistake is that you're being too broad in your question, and do your individual thinking, you know, think about it first rather than just, you know, oh,
exactly,
I have this thing, let me just go quickly make AI do all the work. No, that was really a partnership. And then X is for context, which is probably my favorite word these days. And it, you know, you don't have to know the perfect context, give it something. And you can always ask it to interview you, which to me is like mind boggling. I never thought about that. And go back and forth in, you know, what Kian is calling an interactive conversation. I mean, it is, but to me, that's just so weird to be having a conversation with a machine. It, of course, I always think of what was it, Odyssey 2000 or something, where the computer, Hal, reading the lips. I have a little scarred from that, seeing that at an early age. And everything that we've done to fix it, do that before you bring it to your team.
Like exactly.
And then you're going to look a lot smarter and you're going to be have a more productive experience. And I would imagine that maybe several people on the team could do this independently.
Absolutely.
Before meeting and then getting together.
Absolutely. I think this is the key, is that we think of AI as sort of like the perfect answer to everything. And we say, oh, we got to figure out the right prompt. Prompt engineering.
Yes, I know.
We got to know the right prompt. And yeah, prompts are kind of important. But you can also have a stream of consciousness conversation with AI like I have. And that's the context. Prompts are just context. What is just as important is not just the prompt engineering, but the human engineering, how we use it in the workflow, in our workspace. And the problem with AI isn't that the technology is failing us, it's that humans don't know how to use it.
Right.
And so our learning is that we have to change some of our behaviors and our workflows to integrate AI as a successful co-pilot on the team. And so when we say, think of the problem yourself first or the solution yourself first before you go to AI, that's so that you can minimize some of the human biases that you put into the AI system with this particular problem. And so learning how to do this as a team, individually on your own, some having dedicated downtime during your day or your week to just think about this first before then you bring it to your team and bring it to AI is super, super, super important.
So what is an example of a human bias that I could bring into my conversation with the machine?
Like I said, we have a bias to accept the first good enough answer. So there was this gentleman, Herbert Simon. He won the Nobel Prize in economics. And he developed this concept called satisficing. And basically is like, we can be satisfied very quickly with an answer. And we then don't probe for it. We don't try to maximize to get the perfect answer. And for most people, satisficing is good enough. So that's something that's a bias. Then you got to say, okay, how do I have like these pattern interrupts to be able to then actually get through some of these biases? And so I'll give you some other examples of how you can like do these pattern interrupts. So for example, anytime you get an answer with AI, the first thing I'd always recommend is to press a button at the very bottom that says regenerate. Regenerate.
Oh, okay.
It's a magical thing about AI because it doesn't get offended if you ask it to try again. So come up with five more ideas. Come up with five more ideas. It doesn't cost anything. So regenerate the response in order to kind of like break through this bias, a good enough answer, and going with the first thing that we get. And then another thing that we're biased with is, again, we've been learning how to use web search engines for decades now, and mm-hmm. we want to get the perfect answer with one question. And that's just a bias. And so we then have to say, okay, if we know that AI gives us significantly better answers if we have a conversation with it, then we have to break through this idea of we have to have the perfect question. We have to have the perfect answer. Here's what we found that just blew our mind in the research. We measured people on how they felt throughout this research process when they had AI on their team. And we found that folks fell broadly into two categories. One of them were the overconfident underperformers. They were like so happy with AI because they thought it was giving them access to magic right away. And on average, they got like a B answer from like, you know, a grade of A through D.
But with zero effort or almost no effort, right?
Almost no effort. It was like magical. They were overconfident. They were so happy, but they underperformed. They didn't get the A answers. And then the second category were these people called disappointed achievers.
That's who you're talking to.
Yeah.
Probably.
And the disappointed achievers, they got like an A answer in terms of creative ideas, like really productive, unique ideas, but they were disappointed because they thought it was really hard to get there. And the learning is that effective AI collaboration takes work. If you feel like it's magical, you're probably not getting a very good answer.
Oh my gosh. That's terrible news.
You're doing it okay. You're not doing it wrong. You're just doing it okay. You're not being super creative.
There can be certain situations where satisficing, where a meh answer is
perfect.
Fine.
Exactly.
But that's not going to be your most glorious moment.
Exactly.
Okay. So everybody, I asked Keon before we started if I should start job searching. If my job as a communication coach was in danger, and he promises me that it's not, but we're still going to ask him. So I'm taking great risk here, professional risk, giving up all my secrets. How can a person become a better communicator, especially growing into the senior leadership role? A lot of people listening are used to being the go-to person, the executor, the operations person, and now they are needing to influence, collaborate, thought leadership. How can someone use AI to get better at those things?
I love that you asked that question because, Laura, I deeply believe that AI will actually make us more human if we learn how to use it effectively. And certainly it's going to automate some tasks, but it's also going to free up some time for us to focus on the things that are the heart and soul of human relationships and work, like communication and creativity and collaboration. And I think in the very near future, and I don't mean like 5-10 years out, I mean very, very near future, I think soft skills will drive competitive advantage in careers. And I think as AI democratizes and gives access to information to everybody, those who can learn how to communicate well with humans and with AI will gain superpowers. People say, oh, well, what happens when you have an AI who essentially becomes like your manager or like, you know, replaces jobs? And I just don't believe that to be the case. I think in the near future, if humans don't lean into these skills that give them competitive advantage when it comes to communication and influence and collaboration, they won't have those jobs. They won't be managers in the future. And so this is sort of like where we're seeing this big gap right now on how teams and organizations learn to not only interact with each other, which I think human resources teams have been trying to do for decades, but also how to interact with AI. And so as part of our research, we actually developed a conversational drill coach, an AI drill coach that helps employees learn conversation skills with AI at scale. And in early results, we're seeing teams 10x their teams' AI fluency skills in just a matter of weeks. And if your listeners are interested, they can go to howtofixit.ai to not only see all of our research, but also get access to this conversational drill coach. To your point about how we as humans get better with communication with each other, here's what I would say. Go to AI, describe the context that you're having about a particular dilemma or a particular situation or maybe a work conversation that maybe you're dreading, and ask it to role play it with you. And so ask it like, how can I approach this conversation so that I can achieve my outcome? And can you please role play this with me? And then have a back and forth with it. And then after you've done that one time, turn up the dial and say, okay, I want you to be even more negative in your critique when we are role playing so that you can learn to have difficult conversations with nuance, because it doesn't cost you anything to practice this conversation with AI before you go talk about it with your boss or with your teammate or something that is challenging. So role play it, then ask it to critique it, critique how you would do it, and then ask it, what did I miss out? How would I have maybe had a better output or situation by asking a question that didn't ask? What was I missing?
I am just blown away. That's pretty remarkable to have somebody you can kind of calibrate. You know, they can have them start off easy and then you build the skill by talking to them, and that has the ability. And this is all on voice. Like, they would understand your voice even if you have an accent or...
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the important part is that you use the voice feature, the voice to text feature on AI, as opposed to trying to type it in. Not everybody has the fluency with words to be able to type their meaning perfectly. So just start talking to it. Tell it what you like. Tell it what you disagree and talk to it. And that's the beauty of a large language model, is that it gives us the opportunity to speak in natural language. There's a reason it's called the chat bot. We need more chat and less bot.
Okay. Well, I think we need more Shakespeare and less Alan Turing. But but I'm seeing, you know, my husband and I were gardening this weekend because we had great weather, and he happened to mention how great it was that we had tools. And I was thinking about this upcoming interview and about AI and how, yeah, that to be a professional now not using this tool is like a gardener that doesn't have, you know, a hoe and a shovel and fertilizer.
Laura, you're so right, because this is a tool that will forever be part of our workplace lexicon. And when we first got on the internet in the 90s, I remember those days, We were all trying to figure out what is email, what is internet. And it took, you know, us as a society a decade or so to really get better at it. And then mobile came out and then we learned that technology. So there's a natural progression to learning these things. But AI has been moving at such fast speed that we don't have a decade to learn.
Right.
And so we really have to learn how to get fluent in interacting with AI very, very quickly. The reality is that in the near future, you're not going to have humans who don't use AI. You're going to have humans who use AI really, really well and humans who use AI not so well. And AI is not just about solving a technical problem. As we've talked about, you can address business problems, but then there's all these valuable ways you can use it in your personal life and your career to improve those skills that will give you human superpowers of communication and empathy and emotional intelligence by just practicing with it, just like you would with a friend or a colleague.
Yeah, this sounds amazing. And for everyone listening, like, we don't have to wait 10 years. You just have to listen to this podcast and take some notes like I am, and you're going to be on the path. So I can imagine that that's going to be an interview question, or is it already? Do you know, are companies saying, so Kion, tell me about your AI skills? I mean, is that even represented on a resume now?
Well, resumes, I think, are, you know, they're all AI read anyway. So let's just say you get to the interview stage. And yeah, of course, people are asking, like, how do you use AI in your workflow? Give me an example of how you've automated a particular task, or give me an example of how you've come across something that AI has been able to help you do more effectively. And so people want to learn your AI fluency skills, because this is just so critical to the future of careers. If you're, let's say, a younger listener, you got kids maybe, or young adults in your household, who's going to learn these AI? How do they learn it? They're going to learn it in schools. This is going to be part of how we teach education going forward. Let's say you're already in the workforce, like most of your listeners. If you're lucky, maybe your organization has work-sponsored workshops or online courses that can help you learn how to do this. But for the most part, people will be left to learn on their own through experimentation, as we did for the last couple of decades of getting online and learning all these new technologies. So if you can demonstrate to an interviewer how you are competent in speaking with AI, in interacting with it in a few tasks that automate particular roles, that's going to give you a huge leg up compared to your competitors. And again, I just want to really iterate, AI is like the great democratizer of access to information and access to resources. What's going to distinguish you in your career as a leader, as a manager, is how you interact well with humans in the future, because that is going to be different. That is not something that AI will help us do.
So everybody, you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say, you're welcome. I bring you the best. This is amazing. It's so amazing. I forgot what I was going to ask you, but what about you? So how does it help you the most? You know, you have a company. It's all over the world. You're helping companies. How do you, Kion, use this in your daily work? Just give us some of the examples.
I can do profiles of people using AI tools online to see what they're most likely able to resonate with. You know, if you're a professional, you have a LinkedIn profile, you have any sort of online profile, we can use large language models to better understand what motivates someone and how they think.
This is very juicy. All right. So tell me, like, if I want to do a profile on somebody, how do I do that?
If you want to learn how to use an AI tool to kind of do online profile psychologically of someone you haven't met, check out crystalknows.com. That's called Crystal and Knows as in KNOWS.com. And it basically just is a really powerful tool for giving you some insights about somebody you haven't talked to. So let's say you're going into a sales meeting that you don't know about this person, or you're going into any kind of negotiation. It just takes online profile information and develops an awareness of how this person likes to communicate. And maybe you can tap into that.
Do you have any funny stories where something went awry or not as expected? And
so things that have gone awry. Of course, it goes awry all the time. AI hallucinates.
Well, that's right. Oh, and let me tell them that what that means, guys, in case there's anybody here that knows less than I do, which is probably not true. Hallucinating is when AI confuses fact and fiction.
Exactly. And sometimes it just makes things up. And I was in a conversation yesterday. We were using AI to summarize this conversation. And it gave me a couple bullet points. And it said, Keon will prepare the following document for submission by this week. And I remember thinking, I didn't say that.
Bossing you around.
I was fact checking. And so what's important here is AI sometimes hallucinates. Again, it's a language model based on probability. And it takes what you've heard, what it's heard, and it spits out sometimes a summary and sometimes an incorrect summary. So it's critical for you to fact check it.
Two more questions. So one is that I have heard that, let's say I use ChatGPT to generate a LinkedIn post or some social media post, that the algorithms will not share it because the machines know that a machine wrote it and there's a bias against that. Is that factual?
I can neither confirm nor deny. But what I would say is if you're using AI generated content to write, let's say, a social media post or an article, for the most part, it's not going to sound really good. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And as a result of that, the algorithms are able to recognize that it's not going to get a whole lot of traction. And so whether they consciously or knowingly suppress AI generated content or out of bias, knowing that humans don't interact with this piece of writing because it's not written very well, it's not going to get a whole lot of traction. What I would recommend is use AI to create a framework or a skeleton of what you want to say. Ask it to help you identify important points, and maybe it develops a first draft for you, but you as a human really have to put your own voice to it. You have to change it up. There are some AI models that are a little bit more eloquent. I have found Claude, which is a large language model built by a company called Anthropic. Claude is a little bit more poetic and eloquent than ChatGPT. And so for creative writing, I think Claude is a little more interesting. You use AI to help you generate a good enough answer first, but then it really depends on you as the human to take good enough to the best.
Okay, then one more tactical question. Because I talk to a lot of people in this category, that their English is their second language. They're an engineer. They have a kind of an important email to write. Can ChatGPT help them with that?
Of course, totally. Yeah. So just very simply go into ChatGPT and type out what you want to say. And it doesn't really matter if it's grammatically correct or not, or in perfect American Standard English. Just type out what you want to say. And at the very end, say, please rephrase this email for a reader who expects perfect English and correct it for me. And importantly, I would say, give me two or three versions of it. So that way I can pick which one I like.
Okay.
We as humans don't always speak each other's language, right? Now you can get instantaneous translation in ChatGPT for pretty much every language in the world. And even if you have spoken audio, let's say you have a video or an audio that you speak in your native tongue, and you can get that translated into voiceover in major languages pretty much instantaneously now.
That is so cool. You can have the last word. Maybe there's something I didn't ask you. What do you think these super smart, highly conscientious, high performers, they're always wanting to learn and do the best. I'll let you lay on the last wisdom bomb.
Yeah, Laura, it's been an honor to join you and share some nuggets of my research with your listeners. And I invite them to go check out our research and our best practices and our conversational AI drill coach on this website, howtofixit.ai, fixit.ai. What I would just say is I invite you to incorporate AI into one of your daily tasks. Do one a week. And before you know it, over the course of 3 months, you will have developed very, very good AI skills. This isn't like everybody else has a head start in the world and you're 15 years behind. Literally, this technology has been publicly available for less than 18 months. It is not too late to begin now. And in 3 to 4 months, you can develop amazing AI skills if you commit yourself to learning one skill per week.
I'm going to do that. So I invite everybody else to do that too. And if I can learn it, and I've been in business a long time, and doing communication for a long time, I think everybody, I know a lot of people in our audience are going to take you up on that challenge. And thank you so much, Keon. This has been just a delight and so informative. And thank you so much for your generous sharing of your secrets. We really appreciate that.
Thank you, Laura, for having me. It's been an honor.
So wasn't that cool? I mean, I feel like we all got a taste of what the future is going to look like and how we can actually use ChatGPT. And it's not a search engine. It's not like you ask it. It's not a Google. It's not you type a question and you get an answer. You really have to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I have found it very useful as a person who was exceedingly, extremely skeptical and critical. Like some of the things I've seen, most of what you see that ChatGPT writes is not good. It's really bleh. It's like flowery. And I'm always saying nobody talks like that. But if you work with it, you can get it to deliver more help to you. And you can take that and then add your personal signature style to that. So don't miss out on this opportunity to elevate your leadership communication skills to gain key visibility at work. I appreciate your being here. Thank you so much for listening. If you're not getting our weekly communication dispatch, please, without delay, this is urgent, visit www.speakupwithlaura.com and get on the Speak Up A-list, and you'll get a weekly communication tip and be part of our community. Have a great day, and I'll see you on the next episode.